So, Kevin, I think we lost everything.
We still have each other.
We'll always have each other. So that's a bummer. But, oh well, that's the way it be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a sports podcast, and this is our second attempt recording it because as
we're pros.
Yeah, we're professionals. I'm sure everybody who's ever recorded a podcast knows this feeling because they always talk about it. And we're just getting to know this feeling on day one.
We're just getting ahead of the curve, to be honest here.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the name of this show is...
Actually?
The All on the Field podcast.
Or
All on the Field. You're listening to All on the Field with Arthur and...
Kevin.
And we're here to talk about sports and other things.
Yeah, and we're going to leave it all on the field, guys. All of it.
Yeah, we're warriors and blood and guts on the air in the microphone. They're waterproof microphones, so it's fine that happens.
We won't leave the microphones on the field, though, because we need those again in the
future. Yeah, we need to take those with us. Yep. But it's kind of like, you know, like when a player leaves it all on the field, like they take their jersey and their cleats with them. Like they're not leaving that stuff on the field. They didn't leave it all on the field. They honestly didn't leave any of it on the field.
Yeah, that's true. When Paul Pierce pooped in his pants on the sidelines, he didn't even leave that on the field.
It's true. So this is a show about Paul Pierce pooping his pants. It's great alliteration. Love it.
Yep.
The purpose of the show is to talk about sports things, which are things that we care a lot about.
I do like the sports.
And also like sports adjacent things.
Like most things.
Like the kind of things that idiots will get mad about when they're telling a player to just shut up and play. Which leads great into the disclaimer section we already recorded once, but we'll do it again.
Yes.
We feel that it's probably appropriate, or I guess I feel, I'm not going to speak for Kevin. Kevin can speak his own mind. He can disagree with me if he wants. That it's probably appropriate to start this off with a bit of a disclaimer.
First disclaimer is we don't always agree perfectly on everything.
Yeah,
is that first a disclaimer? I don't know, but we did it. I did it.
Okay, that can be the first disclaimer. Kevin and I probably won't agree on everything, and we'll argue a little bit, but that's okay. Disclaimer 1-A is that this show is definitely not going to be apolitical in nature and a-controversial in nature. A lot of sports shows talk about, like, facts. They're like recounting things that have just happened, or they're previewing upcoming matchups, and like that's what you see on, I don't know, like Fox News or ESPN or whatever.
Fox News.
My assumption is that's because they don't want to alienate any potential audience. Not Fox News, Fox Sports. Fuck Fox News. They don't want to alienate any potential audience by talking about
fuck Fox News.
Yeah, talking about things that are substantive outside of sports. And then the other type of sports content and podcasts that I'm familiar with are like just things that are recounting historical events and interesting facts and just telling stories about sports teams. We'll probably do some of that because that stuff's interesting and fun and fits into the context of the other things we're going to talk about. But we're not going to be like avoiding the places where things that happen in sports kind of intersect with actual like political events and cultural events and social events in the real world. Those are the things that we're going to be talking about.
Yep.
So disclaimer one is like, this is going to be sort of a political thing. We're going to have opinions and we're going to say when we think people are full of it and when we think athletes are dumb and when we think commentators are dumb and we're humans with opinions and that's the way it is. Disclaimer two is that sometimes we're going to be wrong because we're not that smart.
Never. I never make mistake. I never use... Also, I'm going to add a disclaimer. I'll use bad accents sometimes.
Yeah, honestly,
please take
that,
no offense.
That
I just
should
think
be
it's fun.
Disclaimer one.
Yeah, I will use bad accents probably with regularity.
Yeah, disclaimer one is Kevin's puns and accents.
Yeah. The accents are not accidents. Is that a twofer?
There we go. That's example A.
I'm sorry, but that's all I'm going to say.
That's disclaimer one. Disclaimer one A is that sometimes we're going to disagree. Disclaimer one B is that sometimes we're going to disagree with the world and talk about actually important things. Disclaimer two is that we're going to be wrong sometimes. And when we screw up in a way that's actually substantial, we'll go ahead and apologize for that. We will try to be as accurate as possible. We will endeavor not to misquote people and misrepresent problems, but neither of us are journalists or experts in any regard. We're going to screw things up. We're not going to know pieces of important factual information. We're not going to know dates. We're not going to know scores or stats. There's a lot of stuff we're not going to know.
But we will make up approximate representations.
Oh, yeah. We're going to guess a lot. It's all about how we feel.
Should we amend the name? All on the field, comma, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just lower the certainty level. So yeah, those are the disclaimers for the show that we're going to talk about things that matter, and sometimes we're going to screw it up, and we're going to do our best to be as honest as we can and try to represent things as honestly as possible.
Yeah. Honest like Abe.
Honest like Abe. Good old Abe. Well, I guess let's start talking about the topic for today. So the first topic that we wanted to talk about that's very, very relevant to upcoming sports is, take a guess.
Shuffleboard. Ping pong.
No, it's the Shuffleboard World Series.
Forrest Gump. Ping pong.
Forrest Gump and ping pong. No, topic number one is NBA.
Basketball.
And COVID, both like the protocols and how the Players Association is handling it, and also
how the players are handling it.
Yeah, like some of the really, really, really dumb ones,
including ones who generally otherwise might be likable, but now we as fans sometimes are placed in the position of, how do I appreciate this player's athletic prowess and their contributions to the team when I strongly disagree with significantly more important sentiments that they put out into the universe?
And also some of them that,
MPJ.
Yeah, and also some of them that aren't that likable, like Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Kyrie's probably the most controversial person in the NBA, almost certainly. I think the only controversial thing about like LeBron is just that people just don't like him for whatever reason. I don't know. Kyrie, I feel like there's actual, I guess Ben Simmons right now too. But over the years, he's a person.
He's a perfect example of a player who's controversial in the sense that he is only relevant because of his athletics, but by all accounts, he's like not an awesome teammate and has insane personal and worldviews, which probably contribute to why like he keeps getting traded around and moved from team to team.
Yeah. And this isn't to say, I don't know if this counts as a disclaimer. Here's my disclaimer or my view on the topic. Kyrie Irving, has some insane personal views, I think, but some of them, there's some merit to some of the things that he says. Not everything he says is crazy. Not everything he says is like, what an idiot, or what is he possibly thinking? Like, sometimes they're fruitful, and there's, I don't know. Anyway, like, we will try to do this, I think, with this podcast, where we might say things that generally are just like, this person is so dumb and so wrong, but I don't know. We will try to at least acknowledge vaguely, like, I'm not them, so... We see snippets of all these athletes' lives, but yet it is important that the ones that they choose to share with the world are thoughtful, hopefully.
Yeah. Kyrie's problem is that the two of note that I am familiar with that he's chosen to share are flat earth insanity.
Whoa, now. I don't know.
I know. He supposedly sort of recounted that, but walked around for a number of years claim that the earth was flat.
Also, sort of recounting that one isn't necessarily sufficient, considering that it's pretty objectively incorrect view.
Yeah. And then would you like to get into his more recent insanity?
His more recent insanity is extremely culturally relevant, because he's among the people who thinks that why put a COVID vaccine into your body, because you don't know what it's from and your research is inconclusive. His research, Kyrie Irving, NBA player, his research on the, developed by many, many, very, 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 very smart people who've devoted their lives to thinking about this sort of thing with many, many dollars backing them, you know, but his research as a guy who plays basketball, admittedly very well, has concluded that he doesn't trust it and it's not safe. And the fascinating thing that's made it perhaps most substantial in the news, which is maybe in itself a little bit interesting as a sort of function, is just that he currently, per the rules and laws in the place where his team plays in Brooklyn, cannot play home games because he's not vaccinated, which as a Brooklyn Nets player means that he cannot do functionally 50% of the athletic competitions that he's contractually obligated to do. Which, you know, it just sort of highlights how fascinating of a dilemma this is, I guess, because on some level, of course, every person is entitled to their views and beliefs, and it is their own body, and he should be able to make his own choices. I don't agree with his choices at all, but on some level, that should be a thing. The employer, maybe there's some ethical gray area, but an employer shouldn't force a person to. I think they should force him to at this point. How much loyalty should he have to his teammates and his organization? Is he willing to sit out for half of a year, half of the season, to not participate with his team in these games? Not to mention the literal just health hazard that he is becoming by walking around and as one human not wanting to do it, and then as one human who has the reach to millions and millions of young, influent, like easily influenced people around the planet, as well as everybody who's just looking for another celebrity to cite and reference. Yeah, he's doing a lot of harm.
Well, what's crazy also is that in this case, you know, you're talking about his ability to influence so many others. I mean, it seems pretty apparent that the reason he holds these views is because he himself is super, super easily influenceable by things he reads online or things he reads wherever. Like, I believe that we're about to lose it. One sec.
One.
Oh, record? Recording, Des? I think we're recording, Des.
Sugoi.
Sugoi. Okay, let's try this. What does that say? Touch? I don't know what that means. Okay, we're gonna record here for a little while. What I was saying, sorry, we'll try to go right back into it so I can snap it together. One of the interesting things about Kyrie's situation is that I think that you were talking about him being so influential to so many young people, but it's pretty apparent that like the reason he holds these kind of really crazy beliefs are that he himself is so influenceable, like flat earth stuff from a few years ago. And then like the current COVID stuff isn't just like skepticism with regard to him thinking that you should have personal freedoms. The news story from a couple days ago is that if you look at the Instagram posts and other things he's been liking and following lately, they're from predominantly conspiracy theorists who claim that secret societies are implanting vaccines in a plot to connect black people to a master computer for a plan of Satan.
Yeah, that's out there. I was just trying to do some reading while we were doing technical fixes and found some other strange things that he's asserted over the years, but that
let's hear a recount.
He reportedly, this is from some article that I found from sportscasting.com, never heard of it, but he has said that he thinks the Federal Reserve played a role in the assassination of JFK because he thought Kennedy wanted to end the bank cartel in the world, and he also believed that the CIA hired Jamaicans to kill Bob Marley. This sounds a little bit more, a lot more outlandish, I think, actually. There's a lot of layers to that.
That's a thick onion.
I'm struggling to decide where to start.
I mean, with somebody like this, like, how do you dissect, you know, the relationship that that person's going to have with a sporting organization, right? The main values that supposedly you're supposed to learn through doing sports growing up, like teamwork, hard work, like they're kind of like comical representations of like the stereotypical American blue collar values that you're supposed to learn through playing kids games.
Yeah. Which you can learn, by the way.
Which you can. No, I mean, it's good. It's general, functional.
Yep. Yeah.
But obviously he missed a lot of that stuff. And apparently, you know, did get enough like critical thinking education at any point. I mean, it's important to point
it is.
Out.
Yeah. I agree.
That's the whole fallacy of like NCAA athletics, right? It's that we're going to require these kids to go to college to learn things.
In quotes. Lots of air quotes happening here.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Or at least on my end for you.
Should I throw some in here? We, quote, are going to require, quote unquote, these kids. No. But I mean, it's the idea that somebody's going to go to college for a one and done basketball thing and learn anything of value is really
laughable.
Yeah. It's bananas. Like, you know, there's alternate programs. This is something I think we'll talk about on a future episode because it's interesting, but the alternate proposals around doing like, effectively a player can either go to college for a year or two, or they can go to like a development league system where
it's growing a lot right now.
Right.
For the NBA specifically.
And where the league would have some kind of curriculum of teaching for the players. Like, great. You don't have to go to a college and get, you know, 1 year of credits you might not ever utilize, but you are going to pass some actual classes on like how to manage your money and how to manage your brand and how to monetize things if you're, you know, you now have this platform, how to monetize things if your career doesn't work out and all these other things that would help players substantially. But one of the things that maybe should be taught there is like
just critical thinking.
Well, critical thinking,
I guess
his lack of probably lack of participation in any sort of education that gave him skills that would enable him to avert like adopting this current line of thinking.
Something that I'll raise now, I guess I'll switch to the complementary of Kyrie Irving views. The first one, which is, I guess, take your pick, either more or less important from a high level basketball point of view. Love watching Kyrie Irving play basketball. One of the most entertaining, like beautiful individual games that I've ever seen. Extremely skilled. But outside of that, I think something of value that he's done, admittedly, the meat of the content with which he's done it is very questionable often. I do appreciate that he has, maybe for worse, at least in this instance with COVID, certainly, been outspoken and willing to sort of say that, like, athletes are also still people, and like he should be allowed to have these opinions, and like he should be allowed to have that identity that's not just I'm a basketball player. Although certainly, again, some of the things that he's conveying that are composing this identity, as we've been talking about, make him sort of the conspiracy theorist, like, wacko. But you know, like, it's still, he has said good things in the past sometimes about how, like, we're not just like out here to play a sport, like, I've got opinions, I like there's value in that, certainly, although that sort of does lend itself sometimes straight into the gray area, especially like right now, where it is important and right in some ways for him to assert that he is a person and should be able to have these beliefs, and they shouldn't, like, he shouldn't have to just be this basketball player and be only restricted to that. But in this case, his belief in stuff that he's promoting and like asserting makes it so that he literally can't be an effective part of the thing that he does for a living that's brought him to a position of stature in like this world. And so there's an interesting line between having some obligation and some loyalty to your team and your organization and everybody involved, and then also as an athlete, he should, like, it's both. Like, as an athlete, you probably should be the athlete that you're supposed to be, right? But, like, while some respect and leeway should be had, of course, to let you, like, speak your mind, have your voice, like, have your mental health space when you need it, but also, like, you are, I guess, objectively more valuable to your sports franchise when you do the things that let you play this sport in a way that's with most continuity is beneficial to your team.
Yeah, like, I'll be very clear that I am not even close to, like, the shut up and play. Like, I am the opposite. When
mm-hmm. yeah.
players use the platform that they have,
it's a good
for
thing.
Some kind of activism that's valuable, like, that's awesome and that's great. And, like, you know, whatever. When NBA players, like, went on strike or were refusing to play games, I don't know how long
ago
that was.
Yeah, that was early COVID, right, with all the just people finally realizing that we should aggressively try to do something about outward racism in this world.
Yeah.
That was good. That,
like,
was cool.
When in the bubble, they, like, mm-hmm. we're not playing today.
Yep.
That was great.
That was awesome.
This is not that.
No.
This is not activism.
No.
Like, there's...
Well, not the good kind.
Like, what I struggle with is that because one group of people in this country have made COVID into a political issue.
700,000 people have died in this country.
Yeah, but yes. But the way they frame the conversation enables them to talk about it like it's a political issue where there are two valid perspectives you can have and it's an opinion-based thing,
instead of objectively there's a virus that's killing a bunch of people and there's an objective solution that exists.
Well,
to stopping
and it. Also, holy shit, objectively, nobody's encouraging you to get the vaccine because a secret society is implanting Satan computers in you. Like, it's the 5G nonsense. Like, you can't both sides the vaccine 5G thing. That's just not a fact. It's like both sides being like, does or does not gravity exist? Like, you can't both sides that if you don't believe it exists.
Sometimes like, when I jump, I just never come down.
You're some of these NBA players, man. But like you're disconnected from reality where it's not me disagreeing with a political opinion that you have where I can say you're allowed to use your platform for some kind of political activism. This is me disagreeing with you on the ignorance regarding a fact that has actual consequences. It's sort of like, you know, in the NFL side of things, what's his name? The receiver for the Bills, Cole Beasley.
Oh, yep. That guy.
I hate him.
Yep.
He's a piece of shit.
Yep.
But his disagreement is much closer to something based in reality,
mm-hmm.
based in fact. It's obviously like a weaponized, turning it into a political football type of thing. But his disagreement is, I don't want to be mandated to do whatever, whatever. I don't like that unvaccinated players have different, you know, health standards than vaccinated players.
I think I'm strong and healthy, so I'm not worried.
Right.
Deciding to argue, like if your opinion is that you don't want to get the COVID vaccine because you're a strong and healthy human and think that you're better off that way, like you're a little bit dumb and wrong, but you're doing a lot better than people who think that they've been magnetized if they got the vaccine or that they're,
I mean, you're more than a little bit dumb and wrong.
Yeah.
But
yes, but you're certainly a lot less. You're how is this a conversation we're still having?
Yeah.
I was just thinking you made some vague remark a moment ago about there being actual consequences and which certainly is very true, but the tone that we can have is almost saying it with exasperated humor, which is sort of devastating to think about considering that like 500,000 people ago, this like America only deaths like that many ago, this was like, I don't know. It's just crazy that we got to this point. Like it was exasperation then, and it's almost become so disconnected from how truly tragic it is because we're so desensitized to it because so many people are so outwardly rejecting that this is what's happening.
Yeah.
That like it's almost harder to immediately like access because we've actually grown desensitized to these emotions. Like,
well,
crazy.
And because these players, you know, who have this platform, players and influencers and politicians and everybody, are like the issue here in terms of like strategy to defeat a pandemic is that, you know, prior to, I think, the start of a lot of these sports seasons, the only people in public spaces who were vocally supporting the virus, for what it's worth, were like, you know, politicians, political hacks, you know, political grifters who make a living on the political commentary, and their incentive is that if they can, you know, rile people up and get views and clicks and ad dollars, like that's their living. But super, super problematically, now you have another population of people who, like, by all accounts, I think the average person would assume are like very liberal, progressive, left wing, like NBA athletes in the past few years have sort of become like synonymous with activism, mm-hmm. and like players' rights over organizational rights. And then their message is doing double work to undermine like progress on this issue. You know, like when Kyrie says a bunch of nonsense, like that's going to be taken way, way more seriously by like young, impressionable, otherwise, like progressive, smart, intelligent people who are NBA fans and Kyrie fans, than if Rush Limbaugh had been saying a bunch of shit before he died. Like, you know, those are two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's just definitely interesting in so many regards. I mean, the people who are speaking out in the NBA and the people who aren't. And I mean, I guess most notably, sort of a recent news item, I forget how recent at this point, now that it's, what, October 7th? I don't remember the date that happened, but LeBron sort of came into the controversy because he's LeBron James and it's the NBA and he's LeBron James because he wouldn't disclose if he was vaccinated or not or speak that aggressively about it. And he almost sort of passively made some blanket like, yeah, I'm vaccinated. I wish I had said something sooner or more substantial or something to that effect. And it was kind of like, I guess it was better than not saying anything, but you can almost tell that he's sort of being guarded because he doesn't want to, undermine's the wrong word, but like, I feel like he's trying to protect his relationships with some of like the Kyrie Irvings out there and those people. And it's like, but we have, I don't know, this is bigger than that.
I saw that same piece of info. To me, that's analogous to Michael Jordan's even Republicans buy sneakers comment, where Michael Jordan, I can't remember the political circumstances, but he refused to speak up on a political issue when he was like, whatever, one of his Bulls years. And somebody asked him why he was refusing to get politically engaged and have an opinion. And his response was, even Republicans buy sneakers. Like, he's doing it for the brand. To me, when I see LeBron's situation, I think that it's that kind of thing. I think that, you know, LeBron obviously is an insanely savvy business person and recognizes that if he takes a hardline stance on this,
yeah, that's possible.
That might alienate, I don't know, 20-30% of the people who would otherwise be big LeBron fans.
Yeah, because I guess I even think back, and he certainly tiptoed around when he made the comments. If I remember, he basically said that he was hesitant for a long time and sort of didn't feel totally comfortable with it, and then did his research, as everyone does, and then decided to get it, which, whatever it means, I mean, I guess it's certainly is better than others, but...
The doing your research thing makes me so angry. How long have the studies on vaccination been publicly available?
Yeah, I guess that's the part that gets me.
Like, at this point...
If you had
a year,
if you were somehow like immune to hearing any of those things over the last year, like where were you?
Like, if you haven't done your research by today, October 7th, Jesus Christ.
Like, you should have absorbed it by osmosis
it
from
takes
every headline.
10 minutes on Google to do the research.
Yeah.
Like, that tells me that you're too busy. You're either somehow so busy that literally you have not had 30 free minutes over the past year to do the thing that's going to enable you to best protect you and your family and your community, but you don't care, whatever, it doesn't matter.
And also, you're so removed on a personal level from this whole like epidemic, like on a personal emotional level, that you haven't been motivated to think about it that critically.
Yeah, I think it might have been, was it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who did an interview recently where he said that you know, if you are using the excuse that like, oh, I still need to do my research, all it says is that you haven't done any research yet.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of...
Well said.
That's like socially unacceptable at this point.
Yep.
Like, do the thing. It's not that hard.
Yeah. It's interesting and sad, obviously, that we're at the point where it's... it almost feels like splitting hairs... in a sense, thinking about why people got the vaccine, because the end game is get people to get the vaccine. Like, Andrew Wiggins just went and got vaccinated because he was in the Kyrie Irving equivalent boat of wouldn't be allowed to play in home games in Golden State in San Francisco. Now they play in, I think they've officially moved to San Francisco now from Oakland. Not that it's that substantial, but he went and got the vaccine mostly for team commitment reasons, which is on some level admirable, but at the same time, it's October 2021. What's he been doing? Is that like, that's the reason you're going to go get it? So you can like all the other reasons, but at the same time, like, cool, he got it. That's good.
It's an indication that mandates for vaccination work to get people vaccinated. Similar data is coming out in normal white collar jobs and in like healthcare settings where vaccines are becoming mandatory in these various environments, where when they did polling to ask the question of like, oh, if there was a vaccine mandate, would you quit? A really large percentage of people who were unvaccinated, like 30% of unvaccinated people said, yeah, I'm going to quit. Like, puff my chest out, big, strong. You can't, man. I'm healthy. I do CrossFit and weird pull-ups. I'm big and strong. The vaccine can't hurt me. And then,
yes, the kipping pull-ups, yes. The sign of COVID.
That's the sign
protection.
Of COVID immunity. So all these people said they would quit if
not
a vaccine
add,
mandate
not to add
came
CrossFit
down.
As a whole. Anyway.
And then when these various institutions actually instituted vaccine mandates, it's some insanely small number. It's like 3% of the people who said they were going to quit actually did. Like in some hospital system, they lost like, I don't know, a third of a percent of their staff. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Worth it.
From another show.
Worth it.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing where like, and everybody else got vaccinated. It was New York City schools was the other location where a lot of teachers said they were going to quit. And then the mandate came down and hey, guess what? That didn't happen. You know,
Mandates are good when they're scientifically supported as the best solution to a problem that kills people.
Well, and also what's insane is, like, you know, in so many contexts, vaccines are not a controversial thing to mandate. Like, public health, you know, there's
precedent for this.
There's a big difference between mandating a COVID vaccine and mandating, like,
you must roll on your back 3 times before you use the toilet.
Right, like mandating a religious practice
or
mandating a style of dress, even something like that. Like, you know, the fact of the matter is, when you're in public and there's a health situation, like in every other situation in these athletes' lives, they're not doing their own research. You think Kyrie does his own research when he rolls an ankle? Like, sorry, doc, no. I haven't seen the studies. I don't know what you're doing to me. I need to do my own research before you ice my ankle and give me an aspirin. Like,
maybe on a very basic level, how much does the average person who doesn't want the COVID vaccine because they don't know what's in it, how much do they know about anything in their diet and the impact that that has on them? Right. Like, or, you know, whatever illegal substances might be.
I'm big and strong and healthy. Eats double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Like, do you know all the things that are in a McDonald's hamburger? Do you know all of the substances that are in a Natty Light? Do you know, like, you know
what's in the line of Coke you did last night? But actually, for some people, I'm sure that there are people who do that and say that they won't get, like.
I mean, it's pretty clear to me that it's just an excuse, right? It's not actually about doing the research. It's not actually about knowing what's in it. It's about deciding, for whatever reason, that they don't want to get it, probably because of political and social pressure and just playing along with the people around them and the media they follow. And then that's the excuse that they use because they think that's the excuse that'll be palatable to people. Like, they think that people at work... It's like everybody who's trying to get religious exemptions in the NBA now. Mm-hmm. I believe that, who did you reference a few minutes ago?
Andrew Wiggins? Yeah, Andrew Wiggins. Got rejected for
it. He tried to get a religious exemption, and they said no, mm-hmm. So he got vaccinated. Obviously, his religious convictions weren't that strong.
Yep.
And so I think that people assume that that's the, like, palatable, you know, like, excuse that they can give, and that it won't bite them.
I think it's encouraging, this is sort of switching gears maybe back towards the overarching concept of how the sports world interacts with it, that on this one, it feels like, maybe from an NBA standpoint at least, I think they're doing a good job of not letting it be like an exception from like how the rest of the world is functioning. Like, you can't play in your home games, you don't get vaccinated. Like, Toronto Raptors, because Toronto is properly strict and Canada's doing things mm-hmm. with COVID that are making more effective survival rates happen and less spreading. Anyway, if you go there as an unvaccinated player, you're like only allowed to leave your hotel for team functions or you'll face prison time.
Yep.
It's like, cool, good. I wonder how many unvaccinated people will be on the injured list when they go to play in Toronto.
Right.
It'll be interesting, but...
Or just choose to sit out. I don't know what the system's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you know, the deal that the Players Association negotiated with the league... Yeah, the deal that the Players Association reached was for every game that a player has to miss they're not vaccinated and can't play in the arena where the game's being held, they forfeit, I believe it's just over 1% of their annual salary.
1 over 91.6 is the percentage.
1/96th of a percent?
1 over 91.6 is the percentage.
Ah,
so
okay.
Yeah, more than 1%. But
yeah, it's like if I think it came out that if they miss all their home games and no other games, they would forfeit like 42.5% of their salary or something like that.
Kyrie Irving would miss about $15 million this season if he can't play in home games.
It's a few.
Adds up. That 1 over 91.6% doesn't seem like a lot when you're an average Joe making some money, but when you're making the many dollars, when you're missing $400,000 a game.
I mean, for what it's worth, you know, for anybody out there who, anybody entrepreneurial, if you give me $15 million, I will let you inject me with microchips that make me a satanic computer antenna. For $15 million? I'm for it.
Computer antenna.
Yeah. If you make me an antenna in Satan's computer or whatever it was that the conspiracy that...
I dare you to try. Where do I sign?
Yeah, exactly. Where do I sign? Good Lord. I'll do that.
I don't know. I think it's cool to see how the NBA is handling it generally. They're being thoughtful and they're not trying to cut all the corners. And I guess I generally have a high opinion of the NBA, so I'm hoping that they continue to do things right. And I'm interested to see when the season kicks off, what arenas are going to look like. I think many are still at reduced capacity. That's something that has been troubling, I guess. Fun to see, but in the back of my mind, very troubling with football coming back. It's always, of course, awesome to experience full crowds and all the hype, but also I'm like, we got 100,000 people in the stadium. Is that the move here? Like,
well, it depends on the stadium, right? The Seahawks home stadium, you either have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. And Safeway is setting up like a station outside the arena where if you show up and are unvaccinated, you can do a rapid test there and they'll have your result. And then you can take it to the gate. It takes about 20 minutes to get your result. Show up at the game, you know, half hour, 45 minutes beforehand, you can get your test. And if you're negative, you can go in. So it's as safe as it can be, but also in some places like the Miami Dolphins stadium isn't doing that, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting seeing, again, I guess back to incentivizing vaccines and how sports are trying to, I guess, be involved and proactive with it. Maybe against the odds, NASCAR is being involved with doing a good thing because they're racing in Dover, Delaware this week, next week, one of the upcoming weeks, and they've organized things such that which is its own dumb controversy, but people who are vaccinated should get over it because it's a good thing, where if you are not vaccinated and you sign up for a vaccination slot on one of the days at the track, you get free tickets to, I forget, one of the events there for the weekend.
That's cool.
And like if you have gotten one within some date range also, they had some function where you get to go partake in something where you do laps around the track in your personal car. And like, cool. It's a cool, fun way to engage people in the sport and to incentivize them to get the vaccine. And
yeah.
Of course, there's the ding-a-lings who admittedly, in part of my mind, like me, who are like, that's annoying. Why can't I do that? Because I'm already vaccinated. But the end result is cool. More people are vaccinated. Like, we're not rewarding the holdouts is, I think, the wrong way to accept that. It's not entirely untrue in some mindset, but like, the function of it is not to reward the people who are stubborn. The function of it is to save lives. So
right.
Let's get
it's
over
to it. Incentivize the people who are stubborn to do the activity rather than reward people for having done it.
Exactly. Yes. So anyway, I think it's cool.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think it's
unique, fun.
It's a example of ways that like sports things that are part of life and people care about a lot, like can be useful tools
beyond pure entertainment.
Right. To help even the most stubborn people over the hump to do a good thing that helps everybody. Yep. It's irritating that more of this didn't happen last year.
I agree.
Or whatever. Last year, vaccines weren't widely available, but 7 months ago, 6 months ago, you know, there was a period of time where we got up above, 3 million vaccine doses a day. And that seemed like it was going to be a really good trend. And then it just dropped after that. And if some of these programs had been in place, I wonder if that same sort of thing would have happened. You know, people definitely didn't foresee the urgency of the situation.
I'm agreeing.
Yeah. So do you think we did a good job of concealing our political opinions during this talk?
I don't think anybody has any idea.
Do you think we did a good job of concealing our opinions on public health and COVID-related topics?
Nobody could guess.
Yeah, you know, this is a middle of the road show. We don't want to offend anybody. No matter how dumb you are, you're a valuable snowflake, and we want you to listen to us.
Yes, because what did we call this? All in the field?
Yeah. All in the field.
All the things that happen on that field. There's a Venn diagram that I am making with my hands right now that nobody can see. Basically looks like I'm making fake binoculars. One of those is things that matter and are fun and interesting and relevant in the real world. And one of them is that in sports. And turns out they actually overlap a lot. So trying to pretend that you should separate the two is stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the reason people try to is because...
You can't handle the truth.
You know, a team of people to be successful at a high level needs the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And from a team building perspective, you don't want to like alienate 50% of the population.
Yeah.
But tough. I think we've probably alienated at least 50% of our potential listeners. So that's good. It's probably. Okay. Nobody ever listens to episode one, Kevin.
I haven't alienated the other 50% who don't like puns, so I haven't
Yeah, you haven't had enough puns. Hey, do you think people even know our names?
We did say them at some
point. We introduced
them
very briefly at the beginning.
My name is Kevin.
That's Kevin, and my name is Arthur.
Hi. Oh, something dumb that I was thinking about earlier in this when I was feeling almost irrational guilt for randomly throwing Japanese things in and being like, would that be received wrong of anybody? What if we had one Japanese vocab word per episode?
Ooh, like a sports-related vocab episode, a sports-related vocab term or phrase or something?
Sure, that's probably a better idea. I was literally just going to be like, here's some random word. Today's word, hi.
Nagai.
Nagai no Hita, the long man.
Sakuru Gummy. Anyway.
Today's episode brought to you by Sakuru Gummy. Be a long. Be a long, long man.
Yeah, if you're interested in like fun videos and also, I guess, marketing, maybe they'll pay us for it. Go look up Long, Long Man on YouTube.
Yeah, if anybody from...
You won't regret it.
If anybody from Sakuru Gummy is listening, man, I would love a case of Sakuru Gummy. Or
Nagai Sakuru Gummy.
Oishii desu ne.
Oishii.
Oishi, the Japanese word for tasty or delicious.
Yes. Sakuru gummy, the Japanese word for Sakuru gummy. What a man. Well, here's to hoping that nobody in the league gets sick. Here's to hoping that Michael Porter Jr. gets his head out of his ass. We didn't touch on him because we talked about Kyrie forever, but he's another member of
I like to watch him play the sports, and I hope that he does very well, but also he's an idiot, and I hope that he stops being an idiot for the sake of him and everybody else.
Another member of the anti-vax population.
Yeah.
Really just, you know, go get the vaccine. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, do it.
Yep.
And if you haven't done your research yet.
Come listen to this podcast.
If you haven't done your research yet. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you? Open up your phone. You have Google. Ask Siri. Ask Siri, Kevin. What does Siri say? Should ask, hey, Siri, is the vaccine safe?
Hey, Siri, is the vaccine safe? What you need to know. On the CDC's website, safety of COVID-9 vaccines, bullet point number one for what you need to know is COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Did I just do research?
Yeah, you've done the research now.
Kevin Sheldon, researcher.
Yeah, it's true. Great. Now we can go collect our shill government checks because we're paid advocates for the vaccine. I wonder how many episodes in it will be until we get like a Google review where somebody accuses us of being like a paid shill for like somebody's paying you for those opinions. My guess is it would be within the first like 500 unique listeners, even if people only listen to, you know, 2 minutes of the show. I think within the first 500 unique listeners, we'll get some of those. Maybe sooner, to be honest. I think that's a wrap. We will,
sports are pretty cool, guys.
Yeah.
Sports are good. Embrace sports. The good, the bad, the political, the apolitical. Sports.
And we will have more interesting topics, of how other things sort of intersect with sports going forward.
I forget how I was going to, word it, but something about, we can talk about other interesting topics, like, what are second cousins?